Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." This is one of those biblical passages that is often misunderstood. Some people read it and put a coexist bumper sticker on their car and declare themselves righteous and holy. Jesus was tolerant of all, so you have to be too if you are his follower. Live and let live. You have your morality, I have mine, and never the two shall meet. Judge not, and you will not be judged. And yet, we have morality, we have laws, we have officers of the law, we have courts, and we have judges. And God does not want us to do away with those things. God does not do away with his law or his court of judgment either. St. John records Jesus as saying, "Do not judge by appearances, but judge with a right judgment." Again, Jesus says, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words, he has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." So how then are we to understand this passage and understand it, read it with right judgment? Are we to judge rightly? Or are we not to judge at all? You know that we make judgments every single day. Every time we make a decision, we have made a judgment call. Scripture says that we are to test the spirits, that we are to search the scriptures, to know the truth. That is judgment between what is true and what is false. It is every Christian's duty to judge doctrine. Whether what is spoken is true or false, whether it comes from God or from the devil, whether from the world or from God. Not all confessions are the truth. Not all paths lead to God. In fact, there is only one that does. So how do we understand this text? Well, the first verse is the key. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This word does not set aside God's laws. It does not set aside the laws of our land. Instead, it talks to us about forgiveness. You know that every man, woman, and child is conceived and born in sin. Is it surprising then that people sin against you? Or that you are a sinner? We should not be so shocked. There will always be lawbreakers and sinners in this life. No one can live up to God's standards. You can't even live up to your own standards. Without mercy, there is nothing but eternal death. Do you remember King David and his sin with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah? Do you remember how the entire court knew what he had done? How the commander of his army knew that he had caused Uriah to be killed in battle. Do you remember that he wasn't bothered by his sins even a little bit? Then God sent the prophet Nathan to him. And the prophet told the king a story about a rich man who had many lambs and about a poor man who had one ewe lamb that he had raised in his own house. He told him how the rich man had unexpected company come to his door, and instead of taking one of his many lambs and slaughtering it for the feast, the rich man went and he stole the poor man's only ewe lamb from his house, and he slaughtered and prepared it. At this, King David's anger raged. And he rightly judged the situation. He declared, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this thing deserves to die." At those words, the prophet Nathan said to David, "You are the man." The prophet didn't judge David. David judged David. Nathan only spoke what God gave him to speak. And by that story, the prophet helped David to judge rightly and then to apply that judgment to himself. Upon understanding the weight of the judgment that David had just spoken against himself, he said to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." And immediately Nathan said to David, "The Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die." Nathan voices God's judgment. "You are the man." And when David repents, Nathan proclaims God's forgiveness. "The Lord has put away your sin." So judge not the deeds of others, you who have logs in your own eyes. You who are blind, why do you try to lead others out of sin? For you will not judge rightly unless you judge yourself first. Unless you apply the right judgment that you would level on others to yourself, to your own sin and failures. And if you apply that judgment to yourself, then if you see that you are without sin, you may throw the first stone. St. Peter says, "It is time for the judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" It is time for the judgment to begin with us. The blind cannot lead the blind without stumbling and falling into a pit. One who knows no forgiveness cannot forgive others or lead anyone else to forgiveness. But when your eyes are opened by God's law, and you see the seriousness of your sin and repent of your sin, the Lord is faithful and He forgives your sins. Though you do not deserve it, God is merciful to you. And if He is merciful to a poor, miserable sinner like you, can't you then be merciful to those who have wronged and sinned against you? Though your neighbor does not deserve God's mercy, God is merciful to them just as He has been to you. If the one who is righteousness incarnate, who is holy and the standard of holiness, is willing to forgive their sins and to remove the speck that is in their eye and not hold it against them, should you then stand in the place of a judge and condemn them? Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. This text does not deny that the day of judgment will come. That day will come. And those who reject God's word and His Christ will stand before the heavenly judge without an advocate, and the books will be opened, and they will be judged by their deeds as their own false confessions and Jesus' words ring in their ears. But we do not want this day to come for any unbeliever. We want what Jesus wants. We want all people to hear the word and come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved. He did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Everyone needs to hear that they are a sinner who is in need of a Savior, and then learn who this Savior is. God is slow to anger. He says, "Vengeance belongs to me." Do not then be so quick to stand in His place and condemn others. He didn't come to condemn or judge, but to save. He came to take on the world's sin, to take on your sins, and to defeat the devil's reign of sin and death. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. As we wait for that day, St. Paul tells us to hear the Lord's words, to repent of our sins, to return to our baptism, and in sincere faith to take and eat Christ's body and to take and drink His blood. He says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill. This is why some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned along with the world. If we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. If we were willing to let God's law look inside of us and condemn us in our sins, we would not be so quick to judge and condemn others. Your neighbor has, no doubt, sinned against you, and they have meant it for evil. But God will use it for good. He has a plan for you to prosper you and not to harm you. He knows what you need in order to be saved. If he didn't care for Joseph, he would not have protected him through the many years of trials that his brothers set before him. If God did not care for King David, he would not have sent the prophet Nathan to lead him to repentance. God will discipline you, and he will carry you through the trials. He will speak his word in your ears through his called and ordained servants. He will lead you to repentance and to hear the gospel. You are the man. You are the woman. You are the child who has sinned against God and his law, who has sinned against your neighbor, who has sinned even against your own flesh. Because of your sins, because you are not willing to forgive others, to be merciful to them, you deserve God's wrath. You deserve to die. But though your sins be great, your God is greater still, and he is merciful. He does not hold your sins against you. He has paid the price for you with his own life and blood, that you would not perish forever. Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered over. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, and my strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. But I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. Jesus has forgiven the iniquity of your sin. Blessed are you, for your sins are forgiven. Your God was not overcome by evil, but he overcame evil with good. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, has been placed into your lap. Your mercy has its limits. Your spirit is willing, but your flesh is weak. We are far too stingy with our forgiveness, far too quick to render judgment and to make ourselves hypocrites. But God is not like us. He is not like a cheap merchant who gives as little as possible, who measures out every last ounce. Our God forgives without exception. His grace has no limit and is beyond all measure. He fills your cup of blessing completely full so that it is running over the sides. Come and taste his goodness. Receive again his forgiveness and mercy. And then go and be merciful, even as your Father has been merciful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.